Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and people think of retail jobs as easy. They may pay poorly, they may not be intellectually stimulating, but at least they're not hard. Not true, according to my next guest. She is freelance journalist Caitlin Kelly. After getting laid off as a reporter for the Daily News, she's been on the show to talk about her reporting there over the years. She was hard up for cash and not digging the freelance life, so at the age of 50, she took a part-time retail job working at the North Face, the outdoor gear store. After 2 years of working at the mall, a couple of surgeries, customer abuse, and corporate inanity, she's written a book about becoming a retail worker and the hidden dysfunction of the nation's third largest industry, retail. The book is called Mauled, My Unintentional Career in Retail. Caitlin Kelly, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me come back.
So we know it's tough out there for journalists, and it was especially tough at the height of the financial crisis. Maybe the implosion of jobs has eased a bit. But you're a seasoned journalist. Why did you take a retail job at a suburban North Face store?
For a couple of reasons. I had gone back to freelancing, and like many journalists in 07, the recession was hitting really hard. And my freelancing, it's embarrassing to admit it, truly. It just wasn't going as well as I needed it to. And I had a really terrifying moment. I ended up in the hospital, and I know another journalist who did. I went to cover a story for the New York Times and was so sick I had to hold my head up just to work on my notes, and went to the hospital. I was on an IV with pneumonia for 3 days. And I just said, listen, you've got to do something, sweetie. You've got to go get a part-time job. I never thought retail would be easy. I didn't do it to write a book. I just thought, I need regular cash every couple of Fridays. What can I do that's not going to offer a huge barrier to entry? And as a journalist, what do I do all day long? It's my job to make people comfortable quickly. That's what you do in retail. I thought these might be transferable skills.
Were they?
They were. They absolutely were. Great question. Yeah, I was really surprised and really pleased to see that that's really what you do in retail. You meet a stranger. Within seconds, you make very quick decisions, hopefully accurate ones. Their body language, their clothing, how they're dressed, how they're behaving. Do they have kids with them? Are they in a rush? Are they a tourist? And then, which I really enjoyed, it's very journalistic, you listen very carefully. If you're good, you engage and you listen to the things they're not saying. You watch their pauses. Maybe this is too much money for them. How do you make them comfortable?
So listeners, if you've ever worked in a mall, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC. If you are a retail worker right now anywhere, but particularly because the book is called Mauled and that's where this store was, if you have worked in a mall, call and tell us what it was like. 212-433-WNYC, or what it is like. Maybe you're listening in your store right now. 212-433-9692. And not as the owner. this is not a small business owner's call-in, which we've done many times and we'll do many more. Hello, small business owners. But this is for people who work as employees in retail, in malls and elsewhere. Caitlin, we've had call-ins today for teachers from Newark and elsewhere. Google users, anybody who's ever gotten a parking ticket, and Donald Trump fans.
Right. I listened to all of them. They were great, especially the parking tickets.
So we're finishing today with people who work in or have ever worked in retail, especially malls. And after all, the American economy relies heavily on consumer spending. That's 70% of the GDP. Retail is a $4 trillion industry in which the frontline workers get paid an average of $8.92 an hour. It's the nation's third largest industry, so make your voice heard. What about the pay? This is maybe a stereotype, but I'm actually sometimes surprised when I go into a retail store and the salesperson has what I would consider maybe a professional, educated-seeming demeanor. Mm-hmm. And I think, gosh, this person is probably making $9 an hour. Why are they working here?
It's a great question. One of the things that I saw very quickly in retail, and I really want listeners to appreciate this, you don't know who these people are behind the counter. You know, a lot of people are in transition. People like me who lost a really good job with a good paycheck. You know, I miss my paycheck. I miss my industry. But right now, it's difficult. There are graduate students or people at different phases, single moms, people going through divorce, people who've just moved to the area while they're trying to get that better professional job. This is a way to put gas in the car and food in the fridge.
But despite those, you know, individuals I was talking about are the large majority, relatively uneducated, disproportionately non-white, and stuck in dead-end jobs?
That's an interesting question. I really don't want to generalize. One of the things that's, I think, the good and the bad of retail is it's primarily part-time workers. So really anybody in need of a wage can come in with a low barrier to entry. So somebody who doesn't have a college degree can come in and do the job. And people who have PhDs are doing this job. I was at the Barnes & Noble in Union Station in D.C. They're PhDs working behind the counter. Don't ever assume who you're talking to when you go to a retail store.
Aaliyah in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Actually, I was listening, and I kind of changed my mind about what I wanted to say. But
sure.
I found it very interesting when your guest mentioned that you need to relate to people, because I find one of the hardest things about relating isn't relating to the customers, it's relating to the employees. I find that there's such a multitude of different people who come to work at, well, in retail in general, but I find that as a college student, it's been hard for me to make connections with the people I work with, less with the people that come into the store.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Who are the people who you're meeting who you find it hard to make connections with?
Well, I mean, there's a really big age disparity. Some of the people I work with are parents, you know, they're working there full time. And then the other half are college students, you know, still deciding what they want to do. And, you know, they're actually, I find, much more interested in the nightlife aspect of it. You know, they're making a quick buck so that they can go out and kind of spend it, it seems.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I appreciate the listener saying that. I was the old lady in my store, and that was an interesting thing. I was 50, and my assistant manager was literally half my age. I was the age of her mom, and half of my staff that I worked with were 18 to 22, really average age 32, and they were parents. So technically, what do we have in common except a pulse and a paycheck? But, you know, that's what retail is, and I think that's really the value of it, quite truthfully. You learn to get along. I'm sure that people looked at me and said, who's this middle-aged vanilla white woman? We all have tats and piercings. She's got nothing. Who is this person? I swept the floor. I folded the T-shirts. We all got along. We laughed. It was a great experience, and I think they enjoyed me as much as I enjoyed them.
Chris in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Where'd you work?
I worked at a little watch kiosk at a small mall in the Midwest for
uh-huh.
a while. And it was a very interesting experience. I never realized how people in the mall tended to band together. It became people in the mall almost versus the consumers.
Huh.
Certain little kiosks would partner up and befriend other people in the mall, and it became its own little microcosm for a while.
Versus in what respect? How did you feel under assault?
Well, we knew that Saturday was the worst day of the week because the mall would fill up with lots of kids and parents, and that was the busy day for everybody, so everyone would kind of gear up, and you could shoot little glances and looks to other people at other stores and know that everyone's going through the same hell at once.
Thank you very much. Oh, if you could see Caitlin's face.
Nodding, laughing. Oh, yes. The word hell is so appropriate. It really – and I love the versus because, truthfully, God bless you all shoppers. I'm a shopper too. But, boy, the solidarity behind the counter as you see one more person come in and you can tell they're going to start finger snapping and, you know, bossing you around and being just generally abusive. And you think, oh, my Lord, how does this work for 10 bucks an hour? How do you get to be so mean? So there is this wonderful solidarity, and I totally agree. I'm getting emails from all over the country from retail workers saying, absolutely, this is my experience too.
I don't know how people can be so tone deaf to treat retail workers and waiters and waitresses and people like that as their slaves as much as they do.
Well, I, you know, and God bless you for saying that. I think there's a couple of issues, and quite seriously, one of them I really, really saw is growing income inequality. I know it's something you care about and our listeners care a lot about. And you see this increasingly, as the recession deepened, I worked from 07 to 09, so really the depths of the recession. I only quit in December of 09. And people really now see the working class and low-wage workers as peons, as just sort of the next au pair, the next nanny, the next manicurist. Just do my bidding, won't you? Snapping their fingers. You think, excuse me, everybody's doing their work. They're working hard. Everybody deserves your respect. Just don't do it.
Caitlin Kelly, author of Mauled, My Unintentional Career in Retail. But it's not just workers versus the shopping public. You also write about the relationship between the retail workers and corporate, the head office. You say the level of control, scrutiny, uniformity was both infantilizing and excessive. You write about being disturbed that the products you were selling were overpriced. So talk about the relationship between the workers and corporate.
No, I appreciate the question. And I do need to qualify this because some people are saying, you're such a whiner. It's entirely possible that I am. You know,
You're in journalism.
That's why I'm in journalism. We're professional whiners. It did make me really appreciate, I mean, profoundly, I want to kiss my computer, the autonomy that we get as journalists. We're not told how to do our jobs. We show up in the morning, put on some clothes, do the job, meet your deadline. Retail, it was just astonishingly monitored. You're on camera all the time. You can't sneeze. You can't fix your bra strap. If you make a joke, you know that somebody could hear it, could record it. We have secret shoppers who come in with little checklists. And if you get one thing wrong, everybody gets dinged. Everybody lose bonuses. You think, this is so punitive. I was really a bit surprised by that. And I did find it infantilizing. I think people who work retail for their whole lives say, no big deal. That's retail. It was the sort of the fresh eyes of somebody new to that experience.
Kavita in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Oh, my God. This is the most exciting experience of my life. So I spent my entire life in retail. I was in retail for 27 years. My mom owned a store. And it taught me every single thing I know about what I've become in terms of a professional working individual. Everything from sales to race relations in America. And I'm a professional fundraiser now, and I honestly couldn't do what I do unless I was in retail while growing up. And I was running my mom's store by the time I was 14, and I had seen things like, you know, my sister was once called an animal by someone because of just being a South Asian woman working behind a counter. And it really taught me so much about just the immigrant experience.
What else about the immigrant experience did you learn?
I think that there's a lot of assumptions about the model minority myth that I learned a lot about at a very early age before academics started talking about it in a much more professional space.
About the perception of Indian Americans in this case?
South Asian Americans, I would say.
Right. Okay. Kavita, thank you very much.
One of the things, and I really appreciate that comment, I think you learn a tremendous amount that's very valuable. I've really changed how I work and how I think as a result of working retail, and I'm glad I did it. One of the things that really disturbed me, and my coworkers were so upset by this, routinely, customers would come and talk to me and say, you're the manager, because I was a middle-aged white woman. And the manager was most frequently a 25-year-old African-American man. They'd keep talking to me. I was very offended. So were my coworkers.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes left. You told me before we started on the air that you didn't like some of the comments that you've gotten from some people who said, well, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have an authentic experience. You're really in the professional class. And sure enough, our comments page is sprinkled with people saying you were, quote, slumming it for a book deal. You didn't do this for a book deal.
You know, honestly, those people need to get a grip. I'm sorry. It's inaccurate. You know, you're welcome to have any opinion you want. It's America. It's what we do. Let's be accurate. I had credit card debt, like just about every American, and certainly heading into the recession. When you lose a professional job and the Daily News is a professional job with a pretty healthy income, and suddenly you're looking at a completely disappearing freelance income, like many Americans, I just said, I need cash. I've got to make some money. I took my job in 07. I didn't get the book deal till 09. You can do the math. I needed the job. You can have your opinions otherwise.
How do you feel and how would you compare your own book to feel about Barbara Ehrenreich and the book that she did, Nickel and Dimed, which so seems to speak for, you know, working class women and other working class workers. She technically probably could be described as having been slumming it for a book deal.
Well, truthfully, and I would never frankly use such disrespectful language. I think it's appalling. When you do the jobs, they're hard, tough jobs, and she did them and I did them with all the same hard work as our coworkers. So I don't appreciate that comment from anybody. I think my book is very similar to Nickel and Dimed. My job in this book is not to tell my whiny little story, but to share the story with a lot of original national reporting of other workers all across the country, some of them my age, fellow professionals who went from $140,000 to $8 an hour, some of them who do it their entire lives.
Caitlin Kelly, her new book is called Mauled, My Unintentional Career in Retail. thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I will be off the next couple of days to spend some time with my public school seventh grader who has the week off from school. So Jamie Floyd will be here Thursday and Friday. I'll talk to you Monday. Thanks so much for listening today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.